This is the very last item on the schedule of this conference, which has been great. And I want to take this time to again thank the organizers for putting together this great event. I wanted to, I've got an hour, well, a little less than an hour. Nobody ever gives me an hour on stage, so I feel really honored. I hope I use it well by telling you about MapRoulette and specifically going into what it takes to create your own challenges on MapRoulette. So most of you have probably seen Serge's talk the day before yesterday, where he talked about MapRoulette more from a helicopter view, told you all about the history of MapRoulette and what it is currently. So I'm assuming that I don't have to go into that all that much. But if you need more background, then of course feel free to ask any of us, or either of us, privately. So here's what I want to do. I want to go into the MapRoulette architecture a little bit and explain how it works internally on a high level, just as much as you need to know to kind of understand what's going on under the hood. I want to talk about what makes a great challenge, and also Serge hinted at the most important points in his presentation, but I want to reiterate them. I want to go into challenges and tasks, what those are. So those are our main units of work and collections of work in MapRoulette, and I want to explain what role they play in the system and how you get to interact with them. I am going to talk about the life cycle of a task. So what is one task, what is the different stages it goes through, and how you can control that. Then the most important, perhaps the most important part, is the MapRoulette API. That's the part that you get to interact with and that you get to send your challenges and tasks to. I was going to do a simple example. I'm presenting off of a PDF. I don't know if it will work all that well to kind of do that live, but let's see how far we get. I'll take questions at any time during the talk, so don't wait to the end. I want this to be kind of an interactive workshop. I don't want to be just standing here orating about all this stuff. So I want to hear your questions whenever you have them. So this is a high-level overview of the MapRoulette API. At the very bottom, you see the MapRoulette database. This is where all the work is stored, all the tasks and all the challenges and more things that you really don't need to know about. On top of that lives the MapRoulette server, and the server exposes two APIs, and only one of them is really of importance to us. The other one is the client API, which is only used by the MapRoulette application to display, to get the tasks it needs to display, and to send back the user actions to the server. The API part that you do get to interact with is the challenge administration API. That's the one on the right hand side, and that's where you come in. You are the orange box there, the challenge provider. That's who you are. So let's start off with like what you need, and this seems like a long list, but I'm going to be talking about most of these things and helping you understand what they are. So my hope is that after the end of this, you'll have a good understanding of what all these items are and why you need them and how you can get them. The first thing may seem the simplest, but it's actually not as straightforward, is a good idea. And I'm going to be talking about what good MapRoulette challenges are in a little bit. You need a way to make your idea into a set of tasks. So you need a query or to a database or something very similar. You need a way to connect to the MapRoulette API, which is what basically we will provide you with if you're getting serious about submitting challenges. You'll need a strategy to keep your challenge up to date, because tasks get fixed outside of MapRoulette, so you'll want to make sure that there's no tasks that are already fixed. You may change your mind about some of the parameters of your query while the challenge is already running, so you want basically to be able to update your challenge continuously. You need a server to test against, and in the end you need an account on MapRoulette.org to post your challenges, which is basically the same thing as a way to connect to the MapRoulette API. I don't even know why I put that in there twice. So let's talk about some of these things, or most of them. So here's basically a repetition of the slide that Sarah showed on Friday. Little different, but mostly the same. What makes a great MapRoulette challenge? So if you've played MapRoulette before, you know that MapRoulette is all about getting into the zone. So you start fixing things and you fix a lot. You end up fixing a lot of things because it's a really easy and consistent workflow. For that to happen, tasks need to be quick and easy to fix. So in, I would say, seconds rather than minutes. So it really can't be fix up this village or fix up this entire river and make sure the alignment is good or something like that. That's just way too much. Secondly, it needs human intervention. So if it's something that can be fixed automatically, it probably should. You should engage with the people who can help you make a scripted edit work and engage with the community to do it that way. So MapRoulette is really where humans need to be involved in solving the problems that you see in OpenStreetMap. It also needs a pretty objective right answer. So we want tasks that have a straight answer. So basically, it needs to be really obvious what's wrong, and it needs to be there doesn't need to be any discussion about how to fix it. Also, MapRoulette being MapRoulette, you basically don't know where you end up in the world when you open MapRoulette. So you can't require from users that they have local knowledge about the situation. So the task should not depend on local knowledge. And of course, very important is also that you could actually detect the problems in the database using some kind of query. You could do it manually. You could collect tasks manually, but that would not make a very good MapRoulette challenge because updating would then also have to be manual, and that would be a lot of work. You'd probably be done faster if you just fixed everything yourself. Is this clear so far? Any questions? Good. So about challenges and tasks. So one single problem to fix in MapRoulette is what we call a task. So one shop that we ask you to add opening hours to, one road that we ask you to smoothen, motorway crossing a river that we ask you to build a bridge or tag a bridge. So that's one task unit, basically one thing that we ask people to solve. And then a group of tasks that are of the same problem is a challenge. And those are basically the most important units that you'll need to deal with in MapRoulette. And for tasks to exist, the minimum that they need is a geometry and a unique identifier. And I'll call that blue because right there at the bottom you see a MapRoulette URL. And the MapRoulette URL shows and highlighted in the same colors the unique identifier of the tasks. So every task has a permalink, basically. And challenges need to have a slug that's basically a very short URL-friendly identifier that basically uniquely identifies a challenge. They also need a title and a difficulty level. I'm going into that a little bit more in the next couple slides. And finally, that's also something I'll go into a little deeper in the next couple of slides, is the task's life cycle. So what happens to a task as it goes through its existence in MapRoulette. And this is also important to you as you interact with your tasks when MapRoulette users have interacted with them and you want to know how. So that's that life cycle is described with actions, and I'll describe the most common actions that happen with a task in its life cycle. So here I took parts of the MapRoulette interface that should be familiar to you and kind of highlighted where those different elements end up in the interface. So on the in this slide I'm looking at the challenge and its elements. So the challenge title shows up on the right top side of the MapRoulette interface, and right beneath it is its description. And those are all fields that you can add to a challenge when you create one. A task, a challenge also has an instruction which shows up as for each, or a challenge has an instruction that shows up with each task that is loaded for that challenge for the user. And there's also an optional kind of help text. It's really not optional, you should really do it. But there's also, I see here, a bug where the URL is not parsed, and it should be a nice link, but it isn't. So, but that's that, those are the main elements that you would want to add to your challenge to make it user-friendly. The title is required, the rest is technically optional, but you really, really should have all those elements. Then when you go down to the task level, the task, of course, has its geometry that tells it what to show on the map, actually. And that geometry can consist of lines, points. That those can be OSM lines and points, but we don't really care. We show any geometry that you feed into MapRoulette and display it as a vector layer on top of the OSM map. In this case, there's a line string and a point, but it could be just a point or just a line string or a series of line strings. And on the top, also you see an instruction, and that might be that you could argue that that's a duplicate. In this case, it actually is, and this is a bug in this challenge that I wanted to highlight. So a task can have its own instruction as well, which kind of builds on the challenge level instruction. So for example, if you would want a challenge that has that does spelling corrections, and you have say a challenge instruction that says, please fix the please fix the spelling error. And then you could have a task level instruction that says we detected three consecutive E's in this street name, and that would be specific to that task because a different spelling error could be a different instruction. So you have a challenge level instruction and optionally also a task level instruction. So here's where it gets a little messy. This looks complicated, but it's actually pretty straightforward. Once you get the colors, I wanted to talk a little bit about a life cycle of a task in MapRoulette. So, in red is basically the stuff that you get to control, and the other colors are either controlled by the user or by MapRoulette itself. So, when at the start of the life cycle of a task, if I get my mouse pointer here, I do. You create it, and then it gets created. And then as soon as it's served up to a user, we set it to assigned, so it's assigned to a user. And then the user usually goes on to edit it, and then its status is going to be set to editing. And then depending on the user action, it could be skipped, it could be fixed, it could be a false positive, or it could be other things as well. Depending on the challenge, these statuses are not really predefined. You can define your own if you want. So that's the initial life cycle. But then it gets, I think, then it's where it gets interesting. What happens when a user leaves a task alone without, he walks away from his computer, and the task is still set to editing? We have a system that looks at all the tasks every hour, and sets them back to available if people have to have left them alone. So that's what happens here on the right. And then also, what you get to control here at red, so you get to go back into your challenge and see those tasks that are fixed, are they really fixed? Or if they're marked as false positive, are they really false positive? So what you would do is you'd get all the task statuses from MapRoulette and compare them against what you have locally and see if they really disappeared from your problem, from your query of problems. And if they're not, you can set them back to available. If they are, you can set them. You can just delete them or set them to delete it. They're not really gone, but they're just set to delete it in the database. So there's a lot you get to control. Also, of course, when a task has disappeared and a user has never touched it, you can set it straight from available to delete it. And how this all happens through the MapRoulette API, and that's what I'm going to be talking about pretty much next. So what does the MapRoulette administration, challenge administration API allow you to do? It allows you to do basically three things. It's pretty simple. It only has like four endpoints, and it's kept simple for because it doesn't need to be complicated. You can create or update a challenge with that's the same endpoint actually. You can get current statuses for all the tasks that are in your challenge, and you can create or update tasks. There's also delete operations for most of the for most of the endpoints, but I won't go into those. Everything is described in the Maproulette API documentation, which is up to date right now, which has not always been the case, but it's up to date now with the current version. And it's part of the GitHub repo, but also made a short link here, so you can see. And I want to go into kind of what the workflow is when you interact with that Maproulette API. After I have another drink of water. So the first thing you would want to do is create a challenge. And the endpoint for that is basically whatever the server is. Maproulette.org is our production server, and then everything behind there, that's the endpoint that we're talking about. So what you do is do a put request to API/admin/challenge/ whatever your challenge slug is that we talked about before. And you'd give that a JSON payload with all the information. And these are the parameters that we saw before in the interface. That come up in the Maproulette user interface. There's two things that are probably new. One is the difficulty level. Basically, we have right now we have three. They are basically easy, moderate, and hard. We haven't really strictly defined what that means, but I think we ask you to use your own best judgment to determine whether a challenge is easy, is moderate, or hard. I guess easy challenges would be doable by first-time mappers, so they should be really, really easy. That's basically the best definition of an easy task that I can, or an easy challenge that I could give. Hard ones probably involve more than a minute worth of editing and really looking at the data and comparing things, and might not be suitable for beginners at all. So things like ways that overlap, those can be hard to see in the editor, and it can be easy to get wrong if you're editing. So those are probably moderate, but perhaps hard challenges. And the second one that I didn't discuss yet is active, which is basically what it says on the tin, whether a challenge is active or not. When you first create it, you would probably want to set your challenge to false, the active to false, because it doesn't contain any task yet. So it will, if it shows up to the in the Maproulette interface, it will just show up empty. So you initially set it to false, which I think is actually the default, but I'm highlighting it here anyway. So that's your first thing when you want to create a challenge. Next thing you want to do is create some tasks, right? And we have one endpoint that supports creating multiple tasks at once, so you don't have to call you don't have to put in thousands of HTTP requests to do this. It used to be the case, but we did put in this endpoint that allows you to do it all at once. Basically, what that looks like is you have geometries. That's the GeoJSON part. The whole thing that is a GeoJSON feature collection that can consist of one or more geometries. In this case, you have a line string here and a point, but pretty much corresponding to what you saw on the screen earlier. And then the geometry can have an OSM ID as a property, which means that it's kind of that we know what to load in the editor. So if it actually does correspond to an OSM identifier, then you should put that in the geometry property dictionary, because that's what determines what we load in ID or in JOSM when the user clicks edit. In this case, the point doesn't have a corresponding OSM ID, so we assume that that's just a point that you want for some reason want to highlight in the interface. So and then the unique identifier goes here, and also any other parameters that you would want. Like the task level instruction would also go here. I mean, this is a pretty simple example. And of course, you can repeat this and build a huge GeoJSON or JSON file that contains up to thousands of tasks. I've tested it with up to 80,000, I think, is the maximum. It does take a little while to return, but it does work. It's probably easier on everybody to break it up in chunks of a few thousand. So the next thing you would probably want to do is verify that your tasks actually all made it. If the HTTP call returned 200, then it should have made it there. But just for illustration, I'll show you that you can thereafter pull the tasks that are in your challenge and verify that they're all there. This is also what you would do to verify if you continue to go and update your challenge. To see what has happened in the meantime. So this is basically getting all the tasks, all the current statuses for the tasks that are in your challenge. Yeah, Stefan. It is a good question. The question is how to select the identifier. It should be unique for your challenge, so it doesn't have to be unique overall. Of course, you don't know what other people have done for their unique identifiers. It just has to be unique for your task, so you know the next time you update your challenge that it's still that you can talk to the same task and have it be consistent. It can be a very long string. I think the limit is 72. 72, Siri confirms. So you can do what you want with that. You can use an OSM ID and something else. Here I just used, you can use a UUID, that's up to you really. There's no limit as long as you keep it unique. Does that answer your question? Cool. So then, yep.
I had also, with the Italian community, developed some task to upload on Markovet. What we were doing was, besides having using the OSM ID of the main object of the task, also calculating the hash or M5 sum of the GeoJSON chunk of the task. So you get a pretty long string that is unique for your string.
Yeah. He gave the example just for the recording. I gave the example of using an OSM ID plus the MD5 hash of the GeoJSON chunk of your challenge. So that's a way to do it. Whatever is easy and keeps it unique, guaranteed. So once you verify that all your tasks are there, you can then continue to call the same endpoint that you did to create the challenge, but now in this case to update it. So you'd only have to inject the parameter that actually changes, because the slug is already in the URL in the endpoint in its restful fashion. So from there on out, your challenges would be visible on maproulette.org, and your users could start working on them. So that's the initial creation of your stuff. You have your stuff on maproulette now. Now what? I inserted this just now because I was afraid that I wouldn't be able to do it live. So you might ask, so how do you create all this JSON and how do I do that? Do I have to write my own software? Answer is yes, but we also try to help a little bit. This is a highly experimental and not very super well tested script that lives in the examples directory of Maproulette if you go to the GitHub repo. But what it does do quite nicely is create a challenge from a query against a Osmosis schema database. So if you have a local Osmosis schema database, you can create or update a challenge, insert the title, the challenge instruction, the server name that it should talk to, and then in green that would be the challenge slug, and then the local database that you want to use to fire your query. And then the query itself. This one is for shops without opening hours. So if you wanted to create a challenge like that, this would be the very short way to do it. Again, this generated a lot of warnings for me when I ran it last. It definitely is not, but it did work. What I'm saying is it's not super well tested, but it does. Yeah, you did some work on it, didn't you? Yeah. So But it's it is a good first step if you want to kind of get started with creating challenges. It's currently not very high on our priority list to improve on this. But if you're proficient in Python, you're more than welcome to help out a little more. So now I'm getting to keeping your challenge up to date. Let me do a quick time check. Why do you need to do this? Firstly, because stuff also gets fixed. You won't believe it, but stuff actually gets fixed outside of MapRoulette. People map without using MapRoulette, which is, when you live in this bubble, it becomes hard to believe almost, but it does happen. And also, like I mentioned before, you may want to tweak your query a little bit based on user feedback. So the results may be you don't necessarily want to create a new challenge, but you want to kind of restrict the result set a little bit or have or widen it. So that's one way to update. Those are two reasons basically why you want to keep your challenge up to date at a very regular interval. Like it says on the bottom. We can recommend to do this daily, even, so users don't get to see a lot of tasks that are actually not valid or not what you mean for them to see. I don't do that for all the challenges that I load myself, even, but I try to keep up with the daily schedule. So how do you do that? The keeping it up to date is basically using the same endpoints that we already discussed. One of them, the first thing you would do is get the current statuses so that you see what the users have been up to with your tasks. So you see which ones have already been fixed, which ones have been marked as false positives, etc. And then you would compare that against your local query result that you would rerun then, and then you would see like the user marked this as fixed, but it still appears, so it should be set back to available. A task is available, but it was fixed outside of MapRoulette. It doesn't appear in my result set any longer, so I want it to disappear from MapRoulette, so I set it to delete it. So those are the typical operations, and also, of course, new tasks that appear out of nowhere because new errors appear in OSM, in the OSM database. So, and then basically you just create and update and delete tasks as needed. Using the bulk update endpoint that we just discussed, and again, you only have to feed in the parameters that actually changed. Sarah, you have a question? What is this?
But there's an experimental script in the example directory where if you output like your bulk tasks, that script is supposed to be able to call the server and do those unions for you, so you wouldn't have to do all this manually.
Yeah. Sarah highlighted, just mentioned that there was another experimental script that kind of does those comparisons for you. So that's even more experimental than the loader script. So use at your own risk, I guess. So once you start getting into challenge development, you want to test your work. I have a dev server that's completely open. I think Sarah's also has one with a different URL. So we have both. But this one is free for you to use for anything or abuse, as the case may be. But challenges may go away at any point. It actually also has the full user interface. You can go to dev.maprolet.org and see the same interface as you see on maprolet.org and see the result of your upload actions. Or you can install your own local instance of MapRoulette on your own machine, which has the advantage that you can do a little deeper debugging when you run the server in development mode. You get more error output because the error messages from MapRoulette can be a little succinct, to say the least. Setting up your own server is pretty easy to do. There's a few steps to it, but they're pretty well described. And also that documentation is up to date as to last week. And the URL is there. It's also linked on the GitHub, so it's also part of the Git wiki. So then the final and most exciting step is getting your stuff onto maprolet.org. Unlike dev, of course, the maprolet.org API is closed off and only accessible on the local host. So what you need is a system account that allows you to tunnel into the Maproulette server, much like this, and create a local tunnel to port 80 of the Maproulette server, and then update it, update your tasks as if you were on localhost, as it works with the tunnel. So that's pretty much how that works. To get such an account, of course, you just need to talk to us because we're the server administrators. So that's how that works. There's one final thing that I wanted to mention before I kind of open it to Q&A, which is the admin interface, which is another one of those things that is highly untested and very experimental. If you are tunneled into maproulette.org, you could see it on the production server. You can see it now on the dev server if you want by going to maproulette.org/dev.maproulette.org/admin. What that allows you to do is basically see what challenges are on there, delete them, change their parameters, and also create new challenges in a kind of user interface type of way. This is, of course, all very dangerous because you can delete anything. You also see challenges that others have created. On the dev server, that all doesn't matter. But, of course, on the live server, there's extreme caution to be used with this interface. And it also may go away and change at any time. We don't have any active plans to develop it right now, but it could be expanded to do more things. But I think really the API is the main way to go if you want to automate your challenge, your Maproulette work, with creating and updating challenges. But this exists for your convenience. Of course, you will probably want more help, info, and for that we're always available at our IRC mostly, and also on Maproulette at maproulette.org, which reaches the both of us. The repository is on the OSM Lab organization, and you're happy to fork it, play with it, and also contribute to it. And with that, I think I'm just done talking, and I'm happy to kind of discuss anything you want to discuss about what great challenges are, your ideas for them, where we should go. I've skipped discussing the roadmap for Maproulette. Serge did that a little bit on Friday. This API is going to be pretty stable if anything, it's going to expand with perhaps a little bit, but there's nothing really happening on that front. So you can code against this and be reasonably confident that this is going to be the way it is for the foreseeable future. So that's all I have to say on the matter, really. I want to thank you for your late Sunday afternoon attention. I'm really happy that I got so many folks. If the number of folks represents the number of new challenges that we're going to see in Maproulette, I'll be a really happy person. So I'm looking forward to seeing all your challenges very soon. Wait, I was just talking to Simone, and I was there's one more thing I wanted to say actually. So how about if we have 120 challenges next week? How do you make sure that users are able to select them and make their way through this long list of challenges? You can already select an area that you want to work in, so that narrows it down quite a bit, of course. But there may be other, we may need to resort to other ways of how people select challenges. Basically, how do you get them to select something? How do you get them to discover something that's relelevant and interesting to them? So I don't really have an answer to that question, but I'd love to hear your thoughts. So the first Q&A is a question to you. So how should we do this? How should we have people discover challenges when we don't have five of them, but 500, which might very well be the case? Should it be by geography, detect their IP location or something? There's some ideas that I have, but it's not really very well developed. So I'd love to hear your thoughts as well. But For now, thank you for your attention, and I'm looking forward to the discussion ensuing. Thanks. Questions? Frederik, just a second for the microphone.
I show no, there is a bug upload or not?
Oh, the bulk upload, whether it exists or not. You think I'm talking about vaporware here?
No,
it does exist. Yeah, so you can the JSON for the slash tasks endpoint, the put request can contain up to thousands of tasks at once. You can also do, there's also a single task upload endpoint that you can use if you, for some reason, find that easier to deal with, but it has a lot of network overhead if you do it that way. So for most cases, I guess the bulk upload is the preferred way to go. Anything else? Yeah, I know it's late. Well, if not, you know how to find me, and if you know how to find Serge, we're always available and happy to help. So I'm looking forward to seeing your ideas very much. Thanks again.